I don't know how many here are saved and don't know how many is lost. But if you're lost today, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has died for you.
Amen.
He shed His own blood on the cross of Calvary to give you eternal life. He saved me. I'm nobody special. I'm nobody special. But He saved me. And you know what? He can save you too.
Amen.
You may think you've got a load of sin that's so large. Well, that's where I was. I mean, I had a load of sin that I couldn't handle anymore. I was 12 years old when the Lord saved my soul. But I couldn't do anything else. I mean, you that are saved, you know what I'm talking about. Because who saved you?
Amen.
The Lord did.
Amen.
You didn't have anything to do with it, really. All you did was come to the Lord and said, I'm lost. I need help. Just like the thief on the cross.
Amen.
You had to have somebody to do it for you. I mean, that's the way it is. And so I tell you that. If you're lost, Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. He can save your unworthy soul today. But we're going to look in the book of Psalms, chapter number 8. In Psalms 8, and we're going to speak on the subject, the greatness of Almighty God. And God is a very great God. God is bigger than we could ever even imagine that He is. Let's read this Psalms 8. There's only 9 verses here. And verse 1, verse number 9 is about the same. But read these 9 verses and single subject of the greatness of Almighty God. The Bible said here, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Thou hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger.
Amen.
When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou madest him to be a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of the hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. I have to say here in verse number 1, verse number 9, that He says, O Lord, our Lord. Don't forget that. Sometimes I think in the hustle and bustle of life, we kind of forget that. But we need to remember that.
Amen.
Because the Lord is our Lord.
Amen.
I mean, He watched over us. He cares for us and the things that we face every day. God cares for us. But as I think of this psalm, the first thing I think about when I read this psalm is why. That's what I think about. When I consider all of the works that men have done, I ask myself the question, why in the world has God given the kind of overseeing power to this earth that He has?
Right.
To men. And men today are rejecting that.
That's right.
I'm not a tree hugger. I like trees, but I don't want to hug one. All right? God knows everything there is to know, and yet God has established men over this earth. And God created everything. The Bible says, "How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." And I think right there is part of the answer. Because God has set His glory even above the heavens. Understand that that's so. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, the Bible tells us here that God created all of this earth. I know there's evolutionists today that don't believe that. I know that that's so. But those guys, they don't know anything.
Right.
I mean, they really don't know.
Amen.
I say this. God created this world about 6,000 years ago.
Right.
Now, you can just mark it down.
Right.
Anywhere you want to mark it down. I know that evolutionists say that's not so. Those guys don't know. They've never read the Bible. And when I was a boy, I was taught that there was a difference between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. I was taught that. There's not. There's not. I was taught that the worlds that we know now were created by God, and then they were destroyed, and then recreated. It's not so. It's not so. God created. I tell you what, this world we see right now is here right now.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
I mean, it always has been. It's been 6,000 years ago it started. The Bible said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and I believe that exactly what the Bible says.
Amen.
If you just take any time you might question that, if you just take and just read the Bible to see that it's so, it is absolutely so. But notice this. In Genesis 1 and verse number, beginning in verse 26, here, I call this, Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, I call this the first commission that God gave to man. Alright? That's what I call that. You can call it anything you want to call it. But this is the first commission that God gave to man. And he said this. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created him. Male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And I think that's actually exactly what it is. And I think when he got all done with that, in verse 31, God said that it was very good.
Amen.
All right? When God Almighty says it's very good, it must be really, really good.
Amen.
All right? There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Amen.
No sin at all was in the world. But later, sin came into the world because Satan didn't like all that. Satan talked to the woman. And she sinned, giving the fruit unto her husband. And he, knowing what he was doing, knowing full well what he was doing,
right,
he partook with her. The Bible said they both knew they were naked, sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. God came in Genesis 3, in verse 14, verse 16, and it gave a different commission. And you compare these, if you just compare Genesis 3, 16 down through verse 19 with Genesis 1 and verse 26 through 28, there is a remarkable difference there. Because when there was no sin, it was all fine. But because sin came into the world, God changed it all. And it's, we live under that death now.
That's right.
I mean, we all face death.
Right.
I'm getting older and older. Believe it or not, this gray hair shows that. Some of you don't have any hair. That's showing that. All right? It all changes. It all changes. Read this. In Genesis 3 and verse 16 down to verse 19. This is the final commission that God gave. This is one we live under today. He said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I tell you what, the devil don't like any of that. The devil is wanting to change our entire society around. I mean, in the first commission, in verse 28, Genesis 1, 28, the Bible said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, there was equality there. But because of sin, there is inequality. All right? And Satan came along, and he deceived Eve. And the Bible says in verse 16 of Genesis 3, he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And that's exactly the way it ought to be.
Amen.
That's what God said. Verse number 17. Unto Adam, he said. Now, I have to remark here that he only used one verse against the women, but he used three against the men. So that ought to tell us something. All right, who's really at fault here?
Amen.
Verse 17. Unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. In other words, you didn't listen to me, Adam. You didn't listen to me. You forgot what I told you. You'll do what you want to do. Follow your wife instead of following God. Here's what he said. And you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thus shall it the herb all the field. Has anybody ever raised a garden? When you put beans in the ground, right, or corn, or whatever you're planting, nothing comes up but the beans, right? Nothing comes up but the corn, right? Some of you guys have planted something, because you know this. That you've got to cultivate that. You've got to get rid of those weeds. Because if you don't get rid of the weeds, they'll take it over. I mean, that's the way it is. You see? God has set all of this in motion for us. And when we raise our garden, when you plant your little crop or whatever you plant, and I'm not talking about just a little garden. If you're a big farmer, if you have 1,000 acres, that you plant, or 2,000 acres that you plant, or 3,000 that you plant. What you've got to do when you run, you've got to put a herbicide down and insecticides. You've got to do all of that. If you don't, there you are.
Right.
I saw a guy's field one time. He was a natural guy. All right, he didn't believe he used any herbicides or insecticides or anything like that. But you couldn't see his beans. You couldn't see them. I mean, for the weeds. He didn't believe in cultivating either. I'll tell you what. He had a big mess. That's what he had. But the Bible says in verse number 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. And that's the truth. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. And that means that you need to work until you die. That's what it means. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. God said in in the book of Psalms 8, he said, you have made all of the heavens. You've done all of these great things for us. And as David is writing the book of Psalms 8, and he is considering here the work that God has made. It is a marvelous thing to him. Look in verse 2 of Psalms 8. Psalms 8 and verse number 2. Notice what the Bible said here in this place. This tells us where the battle is. This really tells us where the battle is in verse number 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Notice what the Bible says here. That it is out of the mouth of babes and sucklings that God has ordained strength because of whose enemies? Read it. What does it say? In verse number 2, what does it say? The Bible says it's thine enemies. It's God's enemies. What we have in this verse is that it's showing us that there is a great conflict going on in this world. The conflict is really between God and Satan. We are caught in the middle. We're caught in the middle. We need to do what God wants us to do. We are the babes and sucklings. We are the little ones that's really fighting the devil. We're doing that with the power of Almighty God, not our power. Why? Because we are babes and sucklings. All right? We're the little guys.
Right.
We're not the big guys. We're the little guys.
Yeah.
We don't have the strength. A baby does not have the strength to do anything. A baby can't even feed themselves.
Right.
What do they do? When a baby needs food, what do? Oh, they say, they go to the kitchen and cook it. No, they just cry. Right? And what does mama do? She comes and gives the baby the bottle. But she got to get all that stuff figured out. All right? That's the way it is. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has that ordained strength. So the Bible is telling us here that whenever we face troubles and trials, the best thing we can ever do is to call upon God, who is well able to deliver for us, because we're the babes and sucklings. We can't do it. If we don't call upon God, though, we're in trouble.
Amen.
We're in much trouble. Notice this, that the battle is not ours. Rather, the battle is really against the enemies of God. That's who we're fighting. The principal enemy here is Satan. He's the one that we fight against. If we don't get that, there's a lot of things we won't understand, and we will fail in our Christian endeavors. We need to know who our enemy really is. In considering this part of it, if we understand who the battle is against, who the battle is for, I think of David, King David, who fought a giant. Have you ever heard the story of David and Goliath? Have you ever heard that story? Wow, nobody's ever heard that. Wow. It's in chapter 17, 1 Samuel. Read it sometime. It'd be good for you. But who won the battle?
Right.
Who won the victory?
Amen.
You know how that David went to fight Goliath. And David there attempted, Saul gave him his armor. He said, it's good enough. But it didn't fit him. Saul was a great big guy. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. So his armor was very, very big. But David was a young guy. He was of ruddy complexion, 16, 17 years old. That's my opinion. He was a young guy. And he went to fight Goliath. Saul said, "You can't do it." They had no other choice. They couldn't depend upon God at all. But notice what the Bible says here. David defeated Goliath not with his power. Rather, he defeated Goliath with the power of God.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says here. In verse number 2, where the Bible says, "Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger."
Amen.
There are two talked about there. There's two. One is the enemy. The other is the avenger. They are different. The enemy is Goliath. The avenger is the devil. Think of that. That's what's really going on. In our lives, we need to do what God wants us to do, that we might still those around us. But notice that those around us, the devil is behind that. Think of the thing about abortion. The thing about homosexuals. What is stirring all that up? What's going on there?
Right.
Is it just that people want to kill their babies? Is it just that when the homosexuals, when they rise up, is it just that they want their way? Listen, it's because the devil is against all. He's for them, and the devil is there to cause us to think that we're fighting people. And we're not fighting people.
Right.
We're not fighting people. We ought to be fighting the devil.
Amen.
Not people. Christ, when He came to this earth, I don't think He ever fought people. He was against a lot of things that they said. But He didn't fight them. They fought Him. But He knew what He was come to do. And He did it. For our glory. And for the glory of His own Father. He did that. You see, David, when he took his slingshot and he took those stones out of the brook. Those nice, smooth stones. He had them all ready. But when he strung those over his head, I tell you what, you read the book of 1 Samuel 17, you'll see that David was running. He was running when he stood before Goliath.
Right.
He was running. And Goliath had an armor bearer ahead of him. And how in the world is all that? Because there's a guy in front of Goliath, and then there's David that's running. Have you ever shot one of those things? You ever have? I tell you what, they are. It's just these two straps down with a cloth on there. You put a rock in there. That's all it is. And you throw it around your head. And then you let loose the one string, and that, there it goes. You ever tried to be accurate with one of those things? I tell you what, one time, I got to where I could hit the side of a barn. I mean, really, literally. It was a barn that I got to where I could hit, and I was real proud of myself. I could hit a barn. I couldn't hit Goliath. He was a big guy, but he wasn't as big as a barn. Okay? But the one behind Goliath's strength was the devil. You see, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we get the idea that we're fighting people, but we're not fighting people. Understand, we're not. We're fighting the devil. That's really what it amounts to. He is working on people, causing people to do this and that. Jesus Christ understood that. I'm thinking of the thief on the cross. When the thief on the cross was being crucified right there beside Jesus Christ. This man confessed he was a sinner right there on the cross as he was dying for his sins. He was being put to death. And he died. And God was behind all that. I think God was for that. I still think God is for capital punishment. I really do.
Right.
I honestly do.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ saved his soul right there on the cross as he was dying. Absolutely so. David was fighting Goliath, but he was also fighting Satan, who was the one that was leading Goliath in the battle. That's why the Bible says that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. What amounts to there is that God is using us in this day of battle. And this is a day of battle. But we need to stand true to God. May God help us to ever be mindful of the fact that we ought to stay true to God. May God help us to understand this very vital truth. That's what God wants us to do. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is another example we could give of people who fought the devil and won. You know the story. You've read it. How many times have you read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? 100 times? Sometimes we read it so much it gets old to us. But it's really a brand new story. It's really a good story. They would not bend. They would not bow. They would not worship the false god that their king set up. They told him so. We won't do that. He got all mad, hot and bothered. Heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it should have been heated. He told some brave soldiers, bind these men up and put them in that furnace and let them die. You know what? The Bible says that those men that cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, that they died. Why didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did they die? No. You know the story. Let me ask you a question. Nebuchadnezzar said, I see 4 men loose.
Amen.
The question I have here is this. When did the... When were they untied? Before they got in the fire or after they got in the fire? I don't know. It really doesn't make a difference. But what makes a difference is that they got untied. They got untied. And Jesus Christ was there with them. I think he walked with them. Why? Because the battle, you see, was not because... The battle there was not against men. The battle is against God.
Right.
That's what it's all about. That's what we're fighting here. Understand that that is so. David fought and won. And Goliath died. You might say, Goliath died lost, probably. But I tell you this. The Lord is well able to save anybody.
Amen.
That comes to Him in saving faith. Anybody. It'll make a difference what they've done. It doesn't make any difference at all.
Amen.
God is well able to wash away your sins. If you're lost today, you might be say, I don't think God can ever save me. You ever try? Did you ever ask God to save you? You know when I was lost? I did ask the Lord to save me. Several times I asked Him. Several times I did ask the Lord to save my soul. I was raised in church. My daddy was a deacon and Sunday school teacher and all that kind of stuff. So I knew that. And I asked God to save me several times. He never did. Why didn't He? It's a simple thing. I can tell you it's a simple thing. Because I always hung on to me. I would never, ever come to the place of realizing and recognizing and just saying, Lord, I'm lost. I would never admit to God that I was going to burn forever in hell. I would never, never admit that. That I would finally go there. I would never say that. You may be the same way today. You may be lost in this service today. And you're thinking that you need some kind of power other than you. Listen, you need Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the one that can wash your sins. He's the only one that can. Nobody else can do it. If you're lost, you need Jesus Christ. Amen. You need Him. You need Him to wash for your sins. You can't do it. You can come down this church aisle. You can take Brother Jim by the hand. You can join this church. You can be baptized. You can do all kinds of things. But if you're lost, you're going to die and go to hell. That's it.
Amen.
You've got to give up and you've got to trust the Lord. You've got to say, Lord, I'm a lost sinner. I tell you what, the Lord saved me one Sunday morning in church. Why? Because it's only that Sunday morning that I absolutely, totally give up. I said, Lord, as far as I was concerned, I was going to hell. And you might as well send me to hell right now. Just get it over with. I'm ready to go. I'm done. I can't do anything at all. Lord, if you don't do anything, I can't do anything. I'm over with. Just send me to hell. I'm 12 years old. It'll make a difference. If you're 50, if you're 60, if you're 70, if you're 15, it'll make a difference how old you are. If you give up and trust God, He will save your unworthy soul. He'll do it.
Amen.
I tell you who you... You can praise about that. It won't be you. It won't be because you did something. It'll be because God did it.
Amen.
I mean, that's it. That's the way it is.
Amen.
But David here in Psalms 8, he is realizing that he's read again verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength. A little baby can't do anything. But when they trust God, He can do it for them. I mean, that's what it all amounts to. Because of thine enemies, that is, that might have steal the enemy and the avenger. God has done all of this thing against the devil. The devil didn't want me to be saved, but God did. Settle that. That settled that. The Bible said in verse number 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, I like technology. I've even got a computer. I've had one for years and years. I love them. I'm not up on technology like I used to be. I've got a cell phone. It's turned off right now. All that technology is really good. But you know, sometimes it would be really excellent if we didn't have it. I think sometimes technology gets in the way. It's like, what do you do at night? You know, when your day's work is done, what do you do at night? Do you watch TV at night? Do you watch TV in the daytime? All of those things take us away from the things of God. I've got a phone. All right. I'm not saying technology is bad. I'm not saying that. I didn't got a computer. And I know that there's a lot of stuff on computers that you don't want to look at.
Right.
I know that that's so. But it's like our church has a website. Is that bad? I don't think the website's bad. I don't think the technology to have that's bad. But there's a lot of bad technology out there. I mean, there's a lot of trash. There's a lot of garbage. I'll say this. I probably shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. But in this church, if you come to church and you view pornography on your computer or on your cell phone, you ought to ask God to forgive you that. You ought to ask God to forgive you that, because that's bad. I mean, that is, and you know it's bad. You know it's bad. I can tell you that. I can tell you that it's bad for you to do that. Don't do that. There's enough filth in this world without that. But the devil, in this thing, it's not those people. No, it is the power behind it that we're fighting. It's the power behind all that we're fighting. And we need to be careful that we do things the way God wants us to do it. In verse number 3, he says, "When I consider the heavens," this is where I was coming from. In verse number 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers." And here's what I was thinking about. When I read that verse, here's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about when I was a boy. I was a teenager. And my daddy had land in the bottoms. That's where we raised wheat, or raised the hay and that kind of stuff. So we went down there about twice a year, and we collected all that hay up in wagons and put on the trailers, and we used a pickup truck to haul it out. All right. Now, I love to go out of there. I did not love going in there. All right, because there's work in there. But on the way back, I would lay on top of those bales of hay. I would lay on top of that, and I would fight the gnats. It don't make a difference how fast you went. They would always get you there. But I would look up at the stars. I think it'd be good sometimes if we just sit down and just look at the stars and consider the wonder of God. Just consider it. That's what the Bible said. When I consider the work of thine hands, the heavens, the work of thy fingers. And notice that he's talking about the work of thy fingers. Does your fingers ever do any work? Does your fingers ever do any work? Oh, that dial telephone. Oh, no, not anymore. So you got to punch the button in, right? Right. That's not a dial anymore. You punch it. What is stronger? Your fingers or your arm? What is stronger than both of those? How about your mouth? Be careful about your mouth, because it has a nasty organ in there. Yeah. It can do a lot of bad things. The tongue is an unruly evil. No man can tame it. But see, and God spoke the worlds into existence. God spoke those into existence. It was a good thing that he did. "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." Then he says in verse number 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him." What an amazing thing it is that just consider who is man. We're made a little lower than the angels. But God has blessed us so much that Jesus Christ came into the world not to die for angels. Jesus Christ didn't die for an animal. You may have an animal at home. You may have a dog you really like, or a cat you really like, whatever. Maybe I got a goldfish you really like. Whatever. Maybe you got a bird you really like. But you know what? Those animals, they don't have a spirit. They don't have a spirit. Man alone has a spirit. We're spirit, soul, and body. We're made in the likeness of God, who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So there it is. We're made like unto God.
Amen.
What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? It's remarkable to me that David mentions this, that we'll be visited before we were visited. I think you're looking forward to Christ. He has made him a little lower than the angels, as crowned him with glory and honor. That makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, that has put all things under his feet. God has done this. God has put man here in this place. The Bible says, verse number 8, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. The paths of the seas. What's that? The paths of the seas. I think it's the various channels of water in the oceans that constantly move back and forth. You've seen those on maps, I'm sure. What's so amazing about this to me is that nations upon this earth fight each other, but they drink the same water. It's amazing to me. The blindness that is upon the face of this earth, that's been caused by Satan. It's been caused by... He is the power behind all the evil that's upon this earth. Satan is there. You think about the paths of the sea and how that the waters rotate and go around and around. If you put a bottle in the water in the ocean, it will eventually make its way around. I mean, that's been shown time and again. What we ought to realize about all this is that today men use motors on boats. But in days gone by, it wasn't that way. They had a sail. That's all they had. But I'm thinking of the time when Paul was supposed to go to Rome, and they wanted to winter in one harbor. But they had a good sailing day, so they wanted to go just up this little place. It's just about, maybe 20 miles, maybe not even that far. But they want to go, they want to take that ship and to go out of that safe harbor. It wasn't a very good harbor, but it was a safe harbor. They want to go out of that harbor and rest in another harbor for the winter. But the Bible says that there was a bad storm come up when they got out there. And boy, they were in a bad, bad storm for many, many days. I think it's 14 days. That was a bad storm. You know where they wound up? In exactly the place that God wanted them to be. They wound up in just south of Rome. That's what the Bible said. The thing about it is that we know this about this, that whatsoever passes through the paths and see that God knows everything that's going on. That's why that in verse number 9, Paul ends this chapter, or David ends his chapter with this saying. Same thing said in verse number 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. There is nothing greater than this. There is nothing, nobody greater than God. He's the one that watches over us. He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that leads us. The greatness of Almighty God cannot be fully explained. He is greater than we could ever think. Just know that that's so.